This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Josh Muccio.
And I just want to say thank you, Josh, for coming on. I'm really excited that you were here to help co-host this episode with me.
Yeah, who is this guy?
Yeah, right?
Why am I here?
So Josh is the host of The Pitch, thepitch.vc, which is a fantastic podcast. It's kind of like the Shark Tank of podcasting. I'm a huge fan of it. And I listened to his episode with Brett from News Story, who we'll talk to today, and really wanted to have Brett on, and I thought it would be cool to have Josh come and co-host with me. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what did you think of kind of the conversation? What was your big takeaway?
Well, I mean, it's always interesting. Well, for me, I mean, I don't understand the nonprofit world. Mm-hmm. And Brett is in this like new realm of nonprofits that think like startups, which is the exact opposite of some of these big organizations like the Red Cross, who are just bloated. And so to hear kind of how he thinks about it, how he got into it, how passionate he is about this, is just, I don't know, it kind of pushes all the entrepreneurial buttons inside of me and gets me just stoked for what he's doing. And then he also had an actionable tip in there about like how to stand out when you send an email to somebody cold, and it's probably not what you think it is. So maybe I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I mean, he's not just like cold emailing anyone. He's cold emailing VCs to become benefactors in,
yeah,
donors to News Story on the operational side. And so, yeah, you really got to stand out. There's a lot of noise. So that was really cool. And it was really cool to hear about, you know, he has to be on the ground in Haiti half of his time, and the other half he's doing operational work in San Francisco. So it was interesting to hear how he kind of was splitting up his time and what kind of those experiences were like for him. So
yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what people think.
Let's get into it.
Rocketship is proudly supported by
Bench is an online bookkeeping service
that provides you with tax-ready financial statements
from professional bookkeepers. Go to bench.co/rocketship to get 20% off.
20% off your first 6 months today.
Today.
Wistia is a video hosting platform built specifically for business. If you're using video as a part of your marketing strategy, you need to be able to measure its impact. Wistia is helping over 175,000 businesses do just that with premium video hosting, lead generation tools, and in-depth video analytics. For more about Wistia, visit wistia.com/rocketship.
All right, Brett, so welcome.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed your episode on The Pitch, so I was excited to have you on Rocketship here, kind of digging a little bit further into what you're up to now. So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about News Story?
So News Story is a crowdfunding nonprofit that takes families that are living in life-threatening tent slums, and we bring them into new, safe homes in a sustainable community that we're building. And so you come onto our crowdfunding site and you can see the exact family that needs help. So they're the mom, the kids, their ages, their dreams. It costs $6,000 to fund a home for them. You would give directly to that family. 100% of your donation goes to that family. And then when the home is built, it takes about 2 months. We actually take a video of the family when they move into the home and send it back to every single donor that gave.
Wow, Brett, you've got that elevator pitch down.
We've been telling a couple people about it, so I appreciate that.
It's even better than when you were on The Pitch, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us a bit about who is the customer here that's coming and donating.
So News Story started because I myself was kind of the customer. And my friends were basically the customers. And when I was looking at existing charities to give to before I had the idea for News Story, I just kept feeling frustrated and at the giving experience that I was exposed to, right? So for instance, I saw this problem down in Haiti, which was families living in these tents because of the earthquake. And I originally just wanted to help, and I wanted to give to charities and to websites. And I would keep going on, and I just unfortunately felt the same thing, like a lack of transparency. I didn't know who I was helping. It kind of felt like a black hole. And I thought, you know, if I give $100, how much of that $100 is actually going to go to the need? And then kind of being a, loving startups and loving entrepreneurship and innovation, I just saw a lack of innovation and transparency and transparency too, but lack of innovation and technology in the space. And so all that to say, we wanted to build something that you know, I wanted and that I knew my friends wanted. And that has turned out to be our customers early on.
And so you were actually down in Haiti. That's where this all kind of originated. Could you kind of take us through that story of where the idea came from?
Yeah. So I was down in Haiti, and it was actually my first time really being in a developing country. Long story short, but a couple years at a school, I really changed my life and decided that I wanted to live a life full of selflessness and generosity, as opposed to I was really living the exact opposite of that throughout college and after school, a little bit after school. And so all that to say, it led me down to Haiti. I didn't have an intention of starting a nonprofit. I mean, I never thought I would be running a charity. But I saw this problem firsthand. And not only did I see it, but I got to talk to the people that were going through it, right? So I particularly met
a four-year-old little girl. And she was living in this tent that had been given to her after the 2010 earthquake. And, you know, you'd walk inside this thing and you literally wouldn't even want your dog to live in there. I mean, it is like 200 degrees. I mean, disgusting dirt. No protection because there's just a tarp tent. So any intruder can come in, child abduction, sex trafficking, no protection against the weather. You can't go to school. You get sick all the time from the sanitation and the horrible sanitation inside of the tent. And, you know, I smelt it. What really got to me was there were real personal stories behind it. And, you know, that really put a conviction in me to want to do something about it. I understood on that trip that I was born and I hit the lottery, right? I was born in America and I didn't do anything to deserve that, right? Just like this little four-year-old girl did nothing to deserve to be born where she was. It was just the cards that we were dealt. And so I basically felt a responsibility to leverage what I had been given and try to use that and help other people to give them an opportunity. Because one of my favorite quotes and what kind of really drives me is it's that talent is universal, but opportunity is not. And so I've met just brilliant kids down in Haiti that have so much talent, right? I mean, like super talented, smart, driven, but they don't have that opportunity. So the equation becomes how do you balance that out? How do you give them more opportunity to connect with that talent? And that's what I kind of really get excited about. And all of that to say, sorry if it was a little long-winded, that was kind of that was really the genesis of New Story.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Well, what's standing out to me, other than how much you are like living in this and how much this means to you, is that like you weren't, it doesn't sound like you were trying to start a startup and then you were like, let's come up with a cool idea. You were almost like hit with this problem, felt it, and just said like, I've got to do something. And I'm guessing it was your passion for wanting to do something that got you into this world of startups and got you in touch with the right people and brought you to Y Combinator and all. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I think it's cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was, I never thought that I would run a nonprofit. I actually had a for-profit e-commerce startup before this. And just, you know, I always loved entrepreneurship and startups and always trying to learn as much as I can. And I just kind of was fortunate because I had a little bit of that background already and had some resources. And so when I wanted to develop a New Story, I really wanted to build it the exact same way that I would build a for-profit technology startup, right? Because I thought there should be no difference in how a nonprofit or for-profit should operate, right? You should still have the same growth goals. You should still try to build the best product that you possibly can. You should still hire insanely talented people. The only difference is that, you know, the revenue you're generating, which you're trying to generate as much revenue as possible, you're giving that back to families as opposed to reinvesting in the business or giving back to shareholders. And that's just an idea that I'm really passionate about and I hope can inspire other social entrepreneurs to really approach a nonprofit just like they would approach a for-profit technology startup.
This is reminding me of something recent I've been kind of coming across, is the idea of maximizing for impact versus profit. But yeah, the way I've heard it is actually for-profit companies trying to change the way they think about their product. And like, if you maximize for impact, it does some really cool things with how your team operates, mm-hmm. with the things that you start focusing on, et cetera. But it's like, If you're doing a nonprofit, if you aren't maximizing for impact, what are you maximizing for? So I don't know if that's even a question, but that's just what came to mind.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting trend. I think Kickstarter did a big thing recently about it, but isn't the goal to kind of relieve themselves of their, you know, fiduciary duty to return all the money back to the shareholders?
I think it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I actually, just a little bit more context, my background, I started a for-profit e-commerce startup that actually gave a lot of money back to charity, and turns out that's not the best business model. And so, no, I absolutely agree. Like, that is their responsibility. And then the way we look at it is, it's like, you know, we're trying to still generate as much revenue. I mean, it's sales, right? It's donor revenue. We're trying to generate as much revenue as possible, just like a for-profit would. But the only difference is that we're giving that to the families, because we're obviously a charity, as opposed to a for-profit startup, which is giving it back to their shareholders.
So you're actually building the houses down in Haiti. You're kind of delivering a video back to all of the donors so that they can see the results of their donations. What is it like for you to be, you know, in San Francisco and between Haiti running this nonprofit?
So I was actually, I just got back from Haiti last week. Last night. I was down there all last week. And, you know, it's, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty incredible when, you know, we're over in San Francisco, you know, got our heads down, trying to build out our product, trying to grow our users, acquire customers. You know, we don't get lost at all in like the impact that we're making. But when we get down there and we're able to see the tangible progress of infrastructure and homes being built and seeing those families move into those homes, man, I mean, you talk about, a kind of satisfaction for your passion. It's incredible. And I just think, you know, when we go down there, it just, we always leave more inspired, you know, to go do more. And so it's awesome. And we try to do our best to share that experience with our donors, because New Story was founded on a really simple belief that donors should know exactly who they help, exactly where their money goes, and the exact impact that they made. That's what we've set New Story to do. And so when we're down there, we're trying our best to bring donors as close to that experience as possible.
That's awesome. This is kind of an somewhat unrelated comment, but I noticed with your platform, I was surprised by this when I donated as a user, that it posted my name on the like main campaign page and how much money I gave, and then a comment. And I elected not to put a comment, not knowing that it was actually going to be posted publicly, or I would have said something. But I recently read a post by Seth Godin talking about the reasons people give and the psychology behind it. And one of those is like the brick, you know, the brick walkway with people's names
right.
on it. You know, people like to feel like they did a good thing, but they also like to be recognized for it. And I think that's a really, really cool element that you guys have in a digital way that I haven't seen before. Is there a story behind that?
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to go above and beyond to actually like show the donor what they did, right? For us, it's all about like the donor is the hero here. Like we're just the guide, right? We built a platform that's connecting the donor and the people in need, and the donor is the hero. And so when they give, they should know exactly who they're helping and that they actually made a difference in somebody else's life. And we're going to show that to them. And then, yeah, I mean, when you donated, Josh, it was to what we call a fundraising campaign that somebody else is running. And we basically just aggregate all the names of people that donated. There's a box to check anonymous, but we put those up there. And just to let everybody know that, hey, like, you are the people that made this happen. And so we just try our best to directly connect the donors with those people that need help, and just get out of our way. We try to get out of the way and make it all about the donors.
One of the interesting things is that you guys are giving people kind of the story, and while they're the hero, there's, you know, they're building houses in Haiti. That's why they come to you right now.
Right.
What does it look like logistically to actually get those houses built? You know, what went into that, to putting those teams together?
Yeah, so we work with a local partner down in Haiti, which we actually believe and have seen is much more efficient and scalable than us trying to build out, you know, our own in-house capacity to do that. So we vetted partners, and we found a local partner with a construction company that has, an incredible resume. They have experience, you know, building homes and other infrastructure. And so we actually used them and trained them to build the homes, but also to capture the content needed for the experience that we're creating to show our donors. And so it's kind of a lot of training and then communication back and forth, because we are not on the ground, and we will, as we scale, we will never be, you know, kind of a charity that has a lot of overhead with a lot of people on the ground and everywhere they are. We're going to stay very lean and do what we're best at, which is building a platform that people love and that can scale. And then we're going to partner with incredible people on the ground, and they can do what they're best at. And so that's how it works. And the last really cool thing is that actually all of our homes are built by local workers. So we're employing locals in the community to build all of our homes.
I love that, because it makes what you guys are doing so scalable, you know, which is the kind of the startup mentality. But I think that that's where you guys can grow and help so many different communities, not just in Haiti, and never run into the same issues that like Red Cross, Red Shield runs into.
Exactly.
Just because of all the organizational bloat. But anyway, that's another story.
Yep.
So
just nailed it.
I'm super curious, and I've kind of wondered this ever since we've last talked, Brett, but what is it like to raise funds from, quote, investors? And I know you call them it's not a partner problem, program, it's something else.
The builders,
that's right. Yeah. And so these are like people, because your platform is 100% of the donations go to actually building homes. So now you actually need these other donors, whatever you want to call them, builders. You need them to come in and kind of fill the operational expenses gap of things so you can grow this thing and scale. So, but I have no context of what that is actually like. I mean, you guys launched at Y Combinator, got some attention there. You came on the pitch, got a little bit of attention there.
Yeah.
But what is it like now? Do you like manually reach out to people via email? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is pretty simple, in the fact that the people giving on that side of the business, it's a charitable contribution. So there's no equity, you know, there's no monetary return. However, we like to basically position it as just like you would invest into a regular startup, right? You're investing because you want to get an ROI out of that, right? Like if you give $25,000, you don't want that to be a sunk cost. You want to get, you know, $200,000 back in return, right? So we position it as, it's the same thing, really. It's a social ROI, right? So for example, if someone gives us $50,000 just to cover operations, well, that's not a sunk cost, because our team goes out and leverages that $50,000 to bring in $300,000 in public donations. So it's actually a $1 input into operations equals a $6 output in public donations. So, you know, people ask us all the time, like, hey, where is my money best spent? And, you know, if just an example, if someone gave, let's just call it $25,000 just to fund homes, for us, that would be about 4 homes they could build. And that would be amazing, right? But then it would stop there. But if they gave us $25,000 on the operations, our team would leverage that to go bring in so much more donations. And so, you know, that's really what our story has been. And I've specifically targeted angel investors and different venture capitalists at their respective firms, individuals, not VCs as a firm. Mm-hmm. And I've told them that story. And they said, wow, that makes sense. You know, I'm investing into the future of New Story. I'm investing into their growth, their scale, their sustainability. And to them, that just made a lot more sense than just giving to the projects.
That's a solid value prop for sure.
Yeah. And so we positioned, like, the last month, we basically said, hey, we're going to raise a quote unquote angel round of funding to cover our next 12 months run rate. And we were asking for $500,000, and we are now at about $470,000. So it's been
awesome.
We've been, you know, fortunate, super grateful. We've had guys like Brad Feld, Pete Flint, who is the founder of Trulia. He now sits on the board at Zillow. So Y Combinator guys. I won't continue to kind of drop names, but all that to say is just our mindset in running New Story. We want to make it very similar to a for-profit technology company.
I'm going to get way into the weeds with this one, but it's just because I'm curious.
Yeah.
But like, you got Brad Feld on board before you even graduated from Y Combinator. Am I right?
Correct.
So was that a cold introduction to him? Did you just reach out of the blue and send him an email? And then if that's true, like, what did that email say? I'm sure people are kind of curious. Like, what is a cold? I mean, you guys have a benefit in that you're a nonprofit making a big difference in the world, and Brad's a great guy, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. So I would just say, you know, Brad would fit into this too. Like, I don't know the exact, I definitely don't want to, like, people to email Brad, but, you know, basically to almost anybody we've reached out to, it has been pretty much cold. I mean, we've had a couple intros, but I don't know, man, like, I just try to do things differently. Like, you know, for example, you know, instead of sending a regular email that probably anybody else would send, instead we would make a short little YouTube video. You know, we would say, hey, like, blah, 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 here's a New Story team. Maybe we're even in Haiti, or maybe we're, you know, we're doing something that's kind of creative or out of the box, you know, directly to them, very personal. And, you know, that's worked for us. Just doing things like that. They're a little bit different, being very persistent. And I don't know, like, it's worked. And so, and I think now once you kind of mentioned the YC part, like, absolutely. I'm not going to lie. Like, of course, that's a great stamp for us. And, I have never not played that up. Right. But I mean, I'm not sitting here being like, absolutely. But, and then now as we kind of build more, credible people that are supporting us, I think momentum begets momentum. Right. And so, you know, we were very lucky to have Brad come on early, and that's influenced some other people to come on as well. And so it kind of has resulted in a little bit of a snowball effect, because we have a kind of a newer level of credibility. And I think in the beginning, like, you should probably try just creative things to manufacture the first couple people, or maybe it's an organization, whatever it might be. And then once you get a couple, then I think that really helps reel in the next couple. Then after that, you're kind of off to the races when it comes to building people around you.
So I'm curious, like, when you're raising and you raise from someone like Brad Feld, who has his own fund, or even Y Combinator, are you raising from the fund, or are you raising from the kind of the partner, the individual?
Individual.
So there's no like tax benefit for a VC fund to donate to you.
No, there's not. We just go straight to individuals because we understand, like, you know, a fund is a fund because they're trying to generate as much profit as possible that's going to go back to their LPs, right? And for them. So we don't position it for the fund investing. It's the individuals. But, you know, we wanted to target the angel investors or people in tech or venture capitalists, individual venture capitalists, because, again, as it was our positioning that, hey, like, we are looking for investors into News Story because we want you to help build News Story for us so that we can grow and scale. And that's why we're coming to you, because you are a great investor. You know how to build a startup. And so we want you to do that with our nonprofit startup.
And are you raising from the tech sector? I mean, a lot of people you mentioned are kind of tech focused.
Yeah.
Is there also a nonprofit sector that you can tap into?
So I'd say about 80% of what we raised so far is from the tech sector. And again, we're young, like we're 10 months into this thing. So a lot of the kind of, traditional is not the best word, but a lot of the kind of foundations or nonprofit kind of funding arms, they usually like you to be around at least for a year.
Okay.
A little bit longer. I mean, we moved really quickly, man. Like, I mean, we didn't get our 501c3, which basically makes you like a real tax deductible charity, for about 5 months into starting this. So, you know, we moved really, really fast, and we've just been very fortunate that the tech community has supported us.
That is awesome.
But all that to say, like in the future, yes, absolutely. Like, we will be, we'll be going after foundations, and, you know, we're setting up, the type of, I guess, you know, they all have kind of their specifics and what they look for, what they like to see. And so we're setting that up, you know, from day one so that we can go to them in a year and say, hey, you know, this is what we've did, blah, 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 blah. And then we'll be able to get funding for them.
Very cool. Yeah. It's always good to have multiple sources as you move forward.
Totally.
Who knows what's going to happen, right? So, well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us. Where can people listening get involved in News Story?
Yeah, thanks, guys. And the best thing is to go to our website, which is newstorycharity.org, newstory charity.org. And a couple ways to get involved. One, I mean, anybody can give directly to a family. So that's an option, anything from $5 to $5,000. The second option is you could run a fundraising campaign, like the Pitch VC, the Pitch podcast did, which was awesome. They raised a couple thousand dollars. It was incredible. So you could start a campaign maybe for the holiday season and try to rally your friends and family to fund part of a home. That's another option. And then if there are any angel investors out there, we are probably need about two more individuals to join us in our angel round. So that would be awesome as well.
And where can they reach you?
So I'm at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, at newstorycharity.org. And I'm also pretty active on Twitter at Brett Hagler.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And a huge thanks to Josh
yeah.
for coming on here from The Pitch.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad. If you haven't listened to The Pitch, go to thepitch.vc and check it out. And definitely check out Brett's episode on there. It was probably a couple weeks ago now.
It was episode 5, if I remember correctly.
And Brad Feld was on. Who else? It was someone from Google.
President of Kiva.
Yeah, so great episode. Go check it out now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And if you'd like a transcription of this show, we have now partnered with Jot Engine, who does some fantastic transcriptions. So you can go to rocketship.fm and check out this episode's show page, and there'll be a link for the transcription. And if you'd like to get a transcription yourself, go to jotengine.com and sign up.
Come on, Rocky.
I need you. I want you.